Whose God is great? Our God is great. Who wouldn't want the promise of eternal life that Jesus offers? Ask yourself, who can get your head around who wouldn't want what Jesus has promised for eternal life? Who doesn't want to be with those they've lost in the past? I mean, just think about what he's given us, what we didn't earn, what we didn't pay for, what he gave us freely, the real amazing of amazing grace, what God did for us. Give him praise this morning.
Survey the wonders of the cross.
Good morning, church. We say we have fun in God this morning. When we say we celebrate, really celebrate this morning what Jesus did for us and our family and our new friends come to visit with us today. Let's show them what the church is about: love, about unity, and about joy. Jesus said, let your joy be full. Jesus came so our joy could be full. So let your joy be full. If you feel like laughing, laugh. If you feel like smiling, smile. Please, if you want to say something to the person next to you, please, by just whisper in their ear. This is your house to come and be closer to God. But have the joy in your spirit. Amen. Can I get an amen? Let's stand up and pray together as we do every Sunday. To our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. That's a long time. Amen. Be seated. Enjoy yourself. Hallelujah. Maybe next year we should have the ladies wear the bonnets and the gloves. What do you think? I'll tell Marilyn. We'll put it in the bulletin. And all the local stores are wondering, what's wrong with these people? We haven't sold bonnets in a long. We'll start a new tradition. See? And Second Congregational will be on the map starting a tradition. Kim, you wear a bonnet, right?
Yeah.
Bonnie, you wear a bonnet and gloves and everything? My wife is going to kill me when we're out of here. Responsive reading today, Psalm 118. For his mercy endures forever. Oh, that's, I'm sorry. Sorry, Marilyn, I missed my spot. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his mercy endures forever.
That's not fair. I gave you that one. Let's see how well you can do. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever.
Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever.
I'm impressed. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
Great reading, Bernie. I can hear you. God bless. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.
For how long?
Ever and ever.
Hallelujah. He loves us more than we can comprehend. He never holds a grudge. He is with us no matter where we take him, to the darkest of evil. He will stand with us. He will try to protect us all. And when we turn back to him, he will wrap his loving arms around us. Amen. He never forsakes us. He never puts us in place of trouble. Who puts ourselves in place of trouble? We do. Who takes steps where we don't belong? We do. Who goes and does things against God's will? We do. But God is always right there with you, standing right there saying, don't do it. I'm going to be with you. And when you fall and you turn and you say, Lord, he's right there to pull you up again. Amen. And I always say this, if you fall down, he will pick you up. But if you throw yourself down, he will leave you there. The Bible says if you don't want any part of him, if you don't want his love, if you don't want his attention, then he will leave you just to yourself. But if you keep falling down and say, Lord, I need help, he is faithful to lift you up again. Can I get an amen? How many have lived through that? I have lived through that. I've seen it. Eyewitnesses. They walk with him. They talk to them. Can you imagine these people were with Jesus every day? They heard the sound of his voice. They heard the little ways he talked and the things he repeated. They were with him. Now, I can tell you about my dad. Anybody here ever meet my dad? Besides my wife. See, that's beautiful. See, I can tell you about him all day long. I could tell you how he talked. I could tell you the jokes he said, the way he walked, the way he played guitar, Marty. But you see, I'm an eyewitness to what my dad was. Amen. So I'm telling you with all my heart. Now, if you ever lost anybody you love, and I know that's part of life, then you want to start telling people about how wonderful it is. I know my wife always talks about her mom like that. And we're all like that. Deacon Chuck, you talk about your dad, what he did with the guns and shooting together and all the things you did together with him. But see, you are an eyewitness to that. And when you're telling people, you want them to hear it. You want them to feel what they were. These men here saw Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They talked with Jesus. They saw Jesus before and after. And after, Deacon Sergio. And after. They wrote it down to tell who? Us. To help us, to lead us. Peter, John, Matthew, Paul, James. They were eyewitnesses to who? And they were telling us about who? For our own good. This is the greatest story ever told. Let me say that again. This is the greatest story ever told. This is the easiest Sunday for a pastor to get fired up. And your pastor's fired up. This is our story. Say that with me. This is our story. This story in this Bible is about every one of you and me included. Our victory story to share with the world if they would only believe. Imagine that. The truest story of amazing grace. By the way, she's singing One Day at a Time. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm getting in trouble with that. The gift of eternal life. And I know we got some children and some young folks here, and it's hard to think about eternal life because they've got school and they got high school and they got college, and they're all going to be either professional basketball players or professional baseball players, like I always wanted to be. And it's hard to think about, but there is a tomorrow that's even greater than today. Amen. No cost, the price paid. And I ask you again to think about this. What more could the world ask for? Anybody. What more can you ask for than what Jesus has promised? Think about that for a while. We take a seed from a plant or a piece of fruit that has died. We place that one seed in the ground, and that one seed produces something much greater than itself. Are you with me? You put a tomato plant in the ground. You take a seed and you plant it. What do you get, Sergio? You get an entire plant of tomatoes. The second is always greater than the first. Amen? You get an apple seed. You want to plant that apple seed. And you plant it in the backyard. What do you get? You get an apple tree. And what's on that apple tree? Hundreds of what? Greater than the first. Greater than itself. This body, right here, your body, passes away. How many, you lose your hearing? Some of us. Not all of us. Your legs hurt. Oh, my hip hurts. My back hurts. My knee hurts. Through life, things change in your body. This body passes away. It is no more. But God has placed a seed inside of us. His seed, His promise, His miracle. God's miracle is living inside of you right now. You might not realize it, but someday you're going to say, boy, am I glad my pastor told me that, because it's true. Will lead us to a place where there's no sickness. There's what? No sickness. No sorrow. In a world made perfect for guess who? Us. We know this. This is the Bible now. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what Paul tells us. That simply means when we're absent from this body, we are present with the Lord. There is a here and there is a here. And that's what it says. Jesus said to the criminal, this on the cross, anybody remember this story? He said to the man on the cross, today, when? You will be with me, who? In paradise. Where? He said, today. Not tomorrow, not next week. You're not going to limbo. You're not going to hang around. Today you will be with me in paradise. The criminal on the cross who wanted repentance. We know, because the Bible tells us, that we can't even understand and comprehend how beautiful a place paradise is for us. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, or has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for us. Prepared for who? Who wouldn't want to know more about that? Who wouldn't want to get in this word now and say, I got to read that word. Everything in this book is about me. Every story is about me for learning. We know that we cannot imagine how beautiful a place we will go. Thank you, Lord. Now today I'm going to read from the book of Corinthians. Anybody ever hear of that book? Paul is writing, thank you my friend. Paul is writing a letter to the Corinthians. Now anybody even know where Corinth is? You understand what Paul is dealing with here as we read. Understand what Paul is dealing with in this city. This city is in the country of Greece. Say that with me. Greece. It's one of the most important cities in the world. Maybe one of the four biggest cities in the world at its time. It's a place full of Greek mythology. I said it. Got it through. Now, Paul is a Christian teaching people about who? And he's going to this big city, populated city, very wealthy city. And he's dealing with Greeks who have mythology. Anybody ever hear of that? Amazons were female warriors. Medusa. Anybody hear of Medusa? She was the lady with the hair and the snakes. And if she looked at you, forget it. I'm not saying nothing. Centaurs. Centaurs were half men, half horses. These are the things that he had to deal with while he's teaching people about Jesus. And he's writing this letter that I'm going to read to you to the Corinthians, because he's like, are you kidding? Now, Homer. Anybody ever hear of Homer? He was a Greek philosopher. Who that? That's right. He wrote the Iliad, and he also wrote the Odyssey. That's right. He says, this is Homer. This is what Paul's got to deal with in Corinth. He says, he writes, the dead are pathetic in their helplessness, inhabiting drafty, echoing halls, deprived of their wit. He's a Greek philosopher talking about the dead. That's what Paul's got to deal with when he writes. Now, understand, this is what Paul faced while preaching to the Corinthians about Christ. He was dealing with factions, immorality, lawsuits, idol worship. He's dealing with false teachers. I mean, we talk about what we think we go through in our lives with other religions and other churches and other things that they believe. Imagine what he's trying to do. And he's writing letters to the people in Corinth. And understand this. Now, this may be, you know, may have thought of it this way. But when he writes to the Corinthians in this Bible, it's not one church. Can I get an amen? There wasn't one church, because believing in Jesus was not always accepted, and to be meeting like that was not always safe to do. So the Corinthians didn't have a big chapel. They didn't have a synagogue, Joanne. They had meeting places. Might have been your basement. Might have been somebody else's house. Might have been Gary up in your attic. You say, hey, let's have a meeting about God. And see, that's the letter he was writing to these people, to the believers in Corinth. And though they didn't have a big church, so when he was writing it, he was writing to all believers. All believers. Stay with me, because we got all believers in this house. There was no big congregation. This is cool. You read about it. Some of the Greek gods that we talked about and things they had to deal with were actually approved, adopted, and accepted by ancient Romans too. Now you got to remember, Corinth was a very wealthy city. I mean, it was so, everybody wanted to be there. The commerce, the money, the jobs. And the Romans were there because they wanted to control it. And they accepted some of those mythologies and some of the Greek gods. Paul had to deal with philosophers. Anybody ever deal with a philosopher? Paul had to deal with philosophers who claimed to know so much. But here's something you need to remember about Paul, and I know Bernie knows this. Paul, if you studied Paul at all, understand he was highly educated, Indian warrior. Paul was a man of scholar. He was a Jewish man who went to college. He wanted to be great. He wanted to be a Pharisee. At one time, he attacked the church, but he was very well schooled, very smart, and was never intimidated by this group of people who stood in front of him. He had the faith and the wisdom from God, and he had knowledge of man, because he too was a scholar. Did anybody get all that? Praise the Lord. I'm going to take you now to the letter of Corinthians. I'm going to read one of the most powerful chapters in the Bible for all believers. He's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. Dad and his little girl. It's just beginning, my friend. Hallelujah. Little girl, just beginning. Hallelujah. Jen is smiling. She's got the little boy. What a blessing. You know, when a young couple gets together, they fall in love. I don't know where I'm going with this, but they have a heart full of love for each other. It's so big. They love each other. They can't wait to be together. They can't wait to come home from work just to be together, because they love each other. And when they have children, some of the things they don't realize is some of that love has to be divided. You have that big heart of love, but some of it has to go to the little boy and little to the little girl, to the family. It has to be. So in essence, the heart has to grow bigger. It has to be bigger, because you never forget. The Bible says that your wife and your husband are the key. That's what holds it together. But when you have children, the heart sort of has to divide itself. And you have to find room for everybody and fit in. And sometimes it's hard. Anybody ever know that? It's hard to love like that. But that's the greatest love. When you divide your heart because you have the children together, you want them to be beautiful. You want them to be loved. You want them to be happy. But you still have to find time for each other. Understand that. Even the more children you have, you still have have to find time for each other. You have to find those quiet times when you can be together, just the two of you, to keep that spark on fire, because that's what love is all about. Because you both love the children, your heart just grew a little bit, but there's sparks. You have to cut it in pieces, and you have to separate, and you have to divide it so that there's enough love to go around. But when you really conquer that, the love gets greater, isn't it? And then someday your grandkids come. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Jen, you got a while, so don't worry. Thank you, Lord. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. I'm reading from Corinthians 15, one of the greatest chapters in our Bible. Paul says to you, if he was standing here right now, he would say, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. According to the what?
Scriptures.
Don't believe Paul, believe the Scriptures. That he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen by Cephas and then by 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all he was seen by me also, as one born out of due time. Paul is saying that of the 500 that saw him, some were still alive. That's what he was saying. Some still remained, and some had passed on. But Paul is telling us about what? Eyewitnesses of who?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Paul tells you, if he stood here, he would say, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle. He was so humble. Because I persecuted the church. But listen to this. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. He says, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Understand what we're going here. Paul has written this letter to the Corinthians because of all these people coming against Christ now. All these people that I told you about, all the philosophers, all the mythology, all the Greeks, all the Romans. People were coming to the church, coming to his church where he built it up with Christ, giving them stories and telling them fables and telling them lies about God. Amen? And that's why he's writing this for us. Listen to what he says. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he has raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith, my faith, everybody's faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men the most pitiable. He's saying, if he has not risen, and that's not true, then everything we're doing here today is just wasting time. It's just believing in nothing. And he said, if this is all we had, if he hadn't risen, he said that all the sacrifices we've done for God, all the love we do, all the things we've done for God are just a waste of time. And that's all we have? We have nothing. That's what he's telling us. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men the most pitiable. But now, hallelujah, Paul, come on. Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That means those who have passed. For since a man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Listen now. He said, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. How many?
All.
How many?
All.
That's a big word, right? That three letters covers a lot. But each one of us in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. He must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Paul is saying when Jesus comes back, when it's all done, he will give the kingdom back to his Father because he will have done the job that his Father sent him. Now remember, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all one person. Amen? But Jesus had something to do that his Father didn't do. So he says when he comes back and everything is done, he will give the kingdom back to who? His Father. Hallelujah. Do not be deceived. Do not be what? Do not be deceived. He's telling us. He's telling us, Second Congregational, Derby, Connecticut, on this Easter Sunday. Brothers and sisters, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Let me read that again. Understand it. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And he's not shaming them. He's just saying to understand that be careful where you are. Be careful who you select. Be careful what you select to do with your body. Be careful how you talk to people, who you talk and who you're around. He said because evil company corrupts good habits. But some will say, and here's so beautiful. This is a great chapter. Have you read this lately? This is the most powerful chapter in the Bible because this is for us. But some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Paul says, foolish one, what you sow is not made alive until it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. Who gives it the body? God. All flesh is not the same. But there is one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. There is also the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. Raised in what?
Glory.
Who's going to be raised in glory? We are. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Who's going to be raised in power? We are. It is sown, this is important, this is beautiful. It is sown in a natural body. Who has a natural body today? We do. It is raised a spiritual body. And Paul said, there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it was written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The last Adam being Jesus. However, the spiritual is not first but the natural. Let me read that again. God in order. Listen. However, the spiritual is not first but the natural and afterwards the spiritual. For the first man was of the earth made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Let me read that again because I want you to just get it. We're almost at the end. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, forwards, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Who's going to bear it? We are. Of who? God. Hallelujah. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. He said, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has been incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And he says, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. You've heard this many times, church, but listen. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Read that with me. Say it with me. I know you'll be know by heart. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Gives who? Us. The what? Victory. Thanks be to God. Therefore, my beloved brethren, he says, be steadfast. Listen, he's telling us what to do in this church, to be strong, to be successful, to be powerful, to tell others about God, to have that light shine out this door where people have to see it. He's telling us to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. He tells us this. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be what? We got to be brave. Be strong. Be what? We got to be strong. And let all you do be done with love. The greatest gift of all. We need to do all that we do with what? Love. We love those around us. We love those we care about. We need to love others. We need to show that love. And then he simply says this, brothers and sisters, on this Easter Sunday, on this Resurrection Sunday, this Victory Day, where we celebrate the victory that we have with Jesus, he simply says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. Give him praise, church. You win. You win the Super Bowl. You win the World Series. You win the NBA Championship. You win the Daytona 500. You are the greatest winners in life. Because with Jesus, we have eternal life. With God, we have hope for tomorrow and the next day and the next day. We have a guidance with God that leads us to victory after victory. How many know we're going to have trials and tribulations? Is there anybody in here that's never had a trial or tribulation? I'd like to talk to you later. What's your secret? We all go through things. Nobody has ever going to go through anything, Joanne, that God has not seen. There's nothing new under the sun that God has not witnessed. Nothing new under the sun that he's never seen. He is with us all. You want things in your life to be different, give it to God. That was the thing I said to God the day, that night I really needed him. We mentioned it at the wonderful Bible study we had Thursday night. It was great. I mentioned to God, was Tuesday night? Tuesday night, was. I had one Thursday night, but nobody showed up. When I picked up this Bible, because my heart said there had to be more in my life at that time. I said, there have to be more. I've made enough mistakes on my own. I want to do things with God. Let me tell you something. After I found this Bible and after I said those things, Gary, I still made plenty of mistakes. Today, I make mistakes. We all fall short in ways. We all do things we wish we didn't. Maybe say things. But I found a way to help guide me. I found hope in myself to know that God was going to direct my path. God was going to help build my life. God was going to build a business for me if I really had my heart in it. God was going to lead me. That was the difference. I still make plenty of mistakes. Amen? Yeah. Thanks for not saying amen. But with God, it was different. I wanted to do better because every time I turn to God, children, you understand that you'll find favor with your teachers, guys. If you follow God's teaching, if you really be that spirit. Let that spirit of love come out and smile. You're going to find favor with people that other people are going to say, that person never liked me. And you say, I don't know, he likes me just fine. She likes me. You're going to find favor with people you work with. You're going to find favor with people even at the grocery store. When you give somebody a smile and you're nice to them, all of a sudden the lady ringing you up has a whole different spirit. You have power in yourself to change people. You have power to make people like you by just being godlike, by just having that light shine through. Because that God lives inside of all of us. Amen. All us believers here today who came to hear the word on Easter Sunday and understand the resurrection, understand the victory, that God is inside of you right now. You have power inside of you now to change all things in life that just come against you. You have to stand. You have to let it shine. Give him praise and glory. He is so great. I love him. One day at a time. One day at a time. I know you're only human. Song says, she's only human, she's just a woman. Yeah, right.
Talk about God. What a joy. It's been in my heart. What a love I have to talk about God. It's more than that. It's wanting to give you some hope that maybe you didn't have when you walked in. Wanting to give you some insight that you didn't have.
Or joy. I always talk about God with joy. When you go to wherever you're going today to have your dinner with your family and your friends, don't let the world get inside that. You know, there's enough stuff going on outside. You don't need it in your life and your family today. When your family comes together, when you're having dinner, don't let things of the world enter and where there's a disagreement. Just let God rule. Let peace rule. Let love rule. So, you know, just say, I understand how you feel about something. Or I understand that, but let's talk about something else today. Let's have a good day together, because these days are precious. Precious. Say that these days are precious that you're going to have today with your children and with your loved ones. Let love rule. Let love, let God rule the day. Don't let the world rule you. You rule the world because God is inside of you. Give Him praise, church. We're going to start a new tradition next Easter. Bonnets and gloves. I can't hardly wait. That'd be great. Right, honey?
Give me a switch. I'll start a new one now.
No, we don't need that. What do you think, Deacon Bill? That sounds nice. Wouldn't you like to see all the ladies in bonnets again and the gloves walking in? Yeah, that's good, right? Gary, what do you think, right? It would be nice, right? Right, we've seen the girls in the bonnets and then the gloves and walking to Easter Sunday in your church. Karen is smiling too. Praise God. For all the traditions we follow, Ash Wednesday and all the things we do in our church, all the things we were brought up with, all the things we believe, this tradition, this one comes from Jesus. The one who saved us from all our sins, the one who loved us, even though we didn't deserve it. When he took his bread and he blessed and broke it, saying, "This is my body being torn for you. I'm going to stand in the gap for you. I'm going to stand in the gap for all your sins." And he simply asked his disciples and asked us to eat and do this in remembrance of what he did for us, especially on this day. In Jesus' name, we shall receive it this morning, church. Thank you, Lord. Madam? Gift we can share with one another is love. Just love one another today. And that'll bring strength to each other. Bring strength to your children. It'll bring strength to your family. The heart's big enough, trust me. There's plenty enough room in that heart for love. Just share the love. Grow together. Grow in new ways together. Remember just always to keep that love fresh. We tell you a lot of times, do something different today. Take your wife somewhere different today, or your husband, take him, do something different today. Stop and get that ice cream today. Do something special. This is the day he made for you. Let love have new beginnings. And let love have new hope. When you have children, you have new beginnings and new hopes. So that love has to grow. But grow together, and everybody will be stronger, just like the church. When you come to the church, come together as a family. This family that God gave us, He gave us this family and told us what to do, to love one another. Always love one another. And to just be in unity under Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We do this in remembrance of Jesus. About the power of the blood, being covered in the blood. The picture, then God looks down and sees us through the filter of the blood of His Son on us, free of sin, part of the family, accepted, separated, and holy. I ask you this morning to ask God to remove any iniquities of the week that you might have done, said, or been. Ask Him to just cleanse you so you can receive the blood of Christ this morning, believing in healing powers of His Word and His message for us. Cleanse us, Lord, on this day. Receive that forgiveness this morning and start anew in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Don't forget to hold hands. Don't forget to walk close together. Grab his arm, ladies. Grab her hand, man. Don't forget to open doors for her. Don't forget to say something nice for her. Let your children see that kind of love. Let them understand what love looks like. And then let them understand what giving looks like and sharing together. Take care of one another. And your children will grow into that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Set aside time for each other. When you do that, your children will be happier. It all works together. The Bible says love never fails. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Don't let a day go by without saying I love you to each other, to your friends, to your church family. Reach out to them, hug them, tell them how much they mean to you, that this house, God's house, we're building together, is important to all of us, that we stay one together. Thank you, Lord, that you show us the way. Not just in our lives, but in our church life, our friends' lives. All of us around us, so they can see God. Someone once told me that you should never have to tell anybody that you're a Christian. They should just see it. How powerful is that? Thank you, Deacon Jim. Remove the iniquities in our weak, Lord, keep us, cleanse us, Lord, so we can receive this. The miracle of your blood that just set us free from sin. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Give him praise, church. Give him praise today. He did it for us. And it didn't cost you a dime. You don't have to send $29.95 every month. God did it for us for free. Why? Because he what? Loved us. Hallelujah.